Hey everybody, before we get into this week's show, I just want to let you know that we are still doing pre-sales. The pre-sales for the new logo t-shirt will be available until February 1st. Once February 1st gets here, we are cutting off the pre-sales and we're sending them to the printer. And the way this is working is I'm going to take all the money that I have from the pre-sales. I'm going to double the order so I have a stock here at the studio of shirts. But that stock is for when I go to do live events. I have merch to sell because I've been known for showing up as a vendor to places with a microphone and a mixer and no merch. And people are like, I want to buy a t-shirt. I'm like, I don't have t-shirts. You want to talk on the microphone? And so I want to have actual merch. Now, with that said, if the t-shirt sales that we have going on don't reach a certain number, we're going to have to pull from our expense account to cover the costs of the extra t-shirts we're making for events. Therefore, we will not have any stock available for the website sales moving forward. So if you are somebody who's been thinking about getting a t-shirt, but you're like, I'll just wait till it's for sale on the website, that's fine. But when we have an excess of t-shirts to sell on the website, that might be a year to a year and a half from now. So if you don't want to wait that long, get your pre-order in now so that you have it coming. Because once we have the pre-orders over, there's a good chance we don't have t-shirts available on the website with the logo for some time because of the stock issue. So if you want the t-shirt, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the store tab. You can get your t-shirt right there on pre-order. Let's get to this week's show.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. Welcome to another members episode. We have M.R. Gorga coming on the show today. He is an author of Demons Among Us, Shocking Real Life Stories from the Paranormal. Link is in the description of this episode. And M.R. Gorga comes on the show today to talk about his experiences with the paranormal, what got him into these topics, and what got him writing this book. It was a good conversation. I hope you enjoy. Let's get to M.R. Gorga right now. Okay, today we got M.R. Gorga on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, man. I'm talking to author extraordinaire, M.R. Gorga. So listen, you contacted us. You recently wrote a book called Demons Among Us, Shocking Real Life Stories from the Paranormal. And it went number one bestseller in several categories on Amazon.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
What were some of those categories again?
Well, it went to, it is a number one bestseller now. Before it went to number one bestseller, it went to number one new release in 10 categories. And that was Ghosts and Hauntings, unsolved mysteries, occult and Satanism, evangelism, you know, it's like all kinds of categories. It went to number one new release in, and then right after that, it went to number one bestseller.
Wow, that's cool. When did you release it?
I want to say the end of, where are we at now? 2021? I think the tail end of 2020, but the book's been out a little bit. But it's just taken some time to, you know, when you write a book, it's not just you set it and forget it. You have to keep, you know, promoting the book. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, life has been a blur for all of us, but we are in 2022 now, not 2021. So tail end of 2022.
I forgot.
It's fine. I honestly can't remember what year we're in half the time anyways. Like, I know 2023 is coming, so sometimes I think I'm in 2023, and sometimes I'm like still in, and when I go to bed at night, I dream 2019. And so my mind's all over the place. So
yeah, just missed an entire year. Yeah. It's been up for some time.
Well, it's really cool. It's really cool. And I know that with Amazon, it really helps if you have a book that's hitting in those categories and stuff, because the algorithm picks it up and it really helps push things. I have a friend who had similar things happen with his book, and I've just seen it's interesting. We live in a world where algorithms play such a huge role as to whether a film or a book or anything can be successful or not. And it's almost as if it doesn't matter if it's good, in the sense that, like, if you can trick people if you can trick the algorithm, you know? And so it's nice to know that there's people out there just putting out that content, and things are rocking and moving for them in today's world, because it can be kind of depressing sometimes. So,
well, the algorithm is kind of tricky, because, you know, you have to kind of keep feeding it, you know? So it's almost like, you know, as long as you're getting reviews and you're getting sales and everything like that, like it, the algorithm, I don't know how it works. It's a mystery to like everybody except people who work there, apparently.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think as long as you're, you know, you still have this, you know, upward motion of, you know, sales and engagement, and it's, you know, the algorithm is, you know, still keeps you, you know, in the top.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting game, and I'm just venturing into Amazon stuff myself with the films, with Amazon Prime. And so, I'm learning slowly, but, it's definitely going to be a learning curve. Now with your book, I want to tell the people again, it's called Demons Among Us, Shocking Real Life Stories from the Paranormal. And obviously through our conversation, you can get it on Amazon, and the link is in the description of this episode. What spawned the authorship of this book? I mean, why did you write this book, and what is it about?
Well, Demons Among Us is actually an answer to a string of nighttime attacks I was experiencing through demonic entities. It's like a week or 2 week long, somewhere between that. And so I was woken up nightly with steely hands around my throat, trying to choke me, you know, half to death, and, you know, chest suppressions with like iron, like pressing you into the bed, evil whisperings in some strange languages, like speaking into my being. I don't know what they were trying to speak into it, but I would imagine it was nothing good. Bitings and scratchings, and just some very, very bizarre things. And so Demons Among Us is an answer to those, because the last thing these spirits or these demonic entities want is to be exposed, because they operate in such darkness and secrecy. The last thing they want is to have the light shown on them. So I said, all right, you're gonna hit me, I'm gonna hit back. And so I wrote Demons Among Us, and it wasn't just me. Another part of it was that I lead a prayer meeting for ministry, and at the time it was Thursday nights. And so afterwards, I asked the people standing around, and I said, is anybody else experiencing these kinds of things at night? And then one by one, all these hands started to go up. It's like 30 people, and at 13 out of 30 people, everyone is experiencing these types of assaults, demonic assaults. And no one came forward because they didn't want to be thought they were crazy. They didn't want to be called crazy. And so, it wasn't just happening to me. It was happening to other people that I know. And that's when I was like, all right, that's it. So, so basically Demons Among Us was written from the string of experiences and what those other people were experiencing. And it was my hit back to the spirit realm, because, you know, again, they hit me, I'm going to hit them back. So
yeah,
that's why I wrote it.
So with that said, what were your thoughts on these kind of things before these experiences happened for you? I mean, the way you describe it, I just come to a conclusion, an assumption maybe that this was the first time you ever had experience like this. And so if that's true, what were your thoughts going into these experiences? Did you even think it was a possibility that could happen?
No, I know what they are, and I know what they do. So, it wasn't my first rodeo, but it was the string of assaults that, you know, that really was like made me, you know, got me mad enough to finally, you know, take to writing this and exposing what these things are and how they function in the world around us, and how they might even be functioning in the lives of individuals without them even knowing it, you know, having an influence in their lives without, you know, any understanding at all, you know. So that's why I wrote it. I've had many experiences, but that was the first time. It was just like night after night after night after yeah. night. And I was just like, oh, like, all right, that's it. we're gonna shed some light on this stuff, and I'm gonna open the eyes of people. And that was what I wanted to do, is to kind of open people's eyes to what's functioning around in the invisible world around them.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, anytime somebody has the opportunity to do that, it's a very good thing to pursue and do if that's your passion. Now with these experiences, because I didn't realize that the book spawned from these experiences. Do you know, were you able to identify why you and 13 other people in the prayer group were having these attacks? I mean, was there anything that stood out between you guys and the rest of the prayer group? Were you guys actively engaging in spiritual warfare at the time through prayer or something like that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's because of, for me personally, it was for my role as the intercessory prayer leader, which is a high level of spiritual warfare. So that's what that night was about. It was about really just spiritual warfare, praying down principalities over cities, over nations, over the nation, over people's lives. And it's, you know, so it's a very, very, it's a very, very, in the ministry wise, an exalted position. And it's an aggressive, thing to take into the spirit realm, right? And so because of my function in that capacity, it kind of puts a target on my back. And so that's personally why these things kind of happen to me, because I'm an enemy to them, and they're an enemy to me. And the same thing for the other people who were in that prayer group, because they were also intercessors as well. And so basically I was leading a room full of intercessors and really engaging in spiritual warfare.
Gotcha. Now, I'm assuming you talked to the people who were having experiences and they described what they were experiencing. Was there similarities, or was everybody having different experiences?
No, the funny thing is it was very, very similar, you know, chokings, pressings, being woken up by voices or things of that nature. So they were all kind of experiencing very, very similar things. So, yeah, I mean, and they usually just do the same the demonic thing, they usually do the same things. So, and that's what they, you know, they were doing to others as well.
So, when this first started happening for you and your, in your experience, was it the choking? And like what was the first experience? I mean, was it something that was visual or you felt it or what?
The first experience with that attack or my first experience with like a demonic
with that attack?
Yeah. With that round of attacks, it was woken up. The first one was like a choking, and it really feels like iron hands around your throat, and you feel it. It's like it's a hand, but you can't see it, but it's got a very, very pair of strong, like iron, like vice, like hands, and you feel it around your throat, and you can't cry out because these things, they come and they come with some kind of power that kind of paralyzes you for a minute. The room kind of it fills up with this dark, I hate the word energy, but it fills up with this like this dark, just this dark sensation, you know. The atmosphere changes, and so you really feel this grip on your neck, you know, tightening, and you know, for a minute you can't cry out. It actually feels like it lasts for a long time, but it doesn't. It's just when you're in that moment and you're woken up out of a dead sleep to being strangled half to death, it's a terrifying long moment, you know.
Yeah.
But that was the first one.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today.